I call Senate Resources Committee meeting to order. Today is Friday, February 20th, 2026. Happy birthday to Ben Goltz. The time is 3:30, and please turn off all cell phones. Committee members present today are Senator Klayman, Senator Willikowski, and myself, Senator Giesel. We don't have a quorum to conduct business. However, we can hold a hearing on a bill. We simply can't have votes and move the bill and things like that. This meeting is being recorded, and Heather is our secretary doing the written recording. It's also being audio recorded, and Chloe is making sure that that happens for us. So thank you to both of you. We are hearing today Senate Bill 216, Big Game Hunting Permits. So we will begin with that. And online, we have the commissioner of the Department of Fish and Game, Commissioner Doug Vincent Lang. Also online with him is Major Aaron Frenzel. He's the deputy director, Alaska Wildlife Troopers, Department of Public Safety. And here in the room, we have Joe Feckel. He is the legislative liaison. He's here in person. So thanks for being here. Who are we? Oh, and I see, yes, did we get Ryan Scott? I don't see him here. Okay, but he potentially will. Oh, there you are. So sorry. So Ryan Scott is the director of the Division of Wildlife Conservation, and he's here in person also. So who is coming forward to present the bill? Welcome, Mr. Feckel and Mr. Scott.
Good afternoon, Madam Chair. For the record, Joe Feckel, legislative liaison. So the commissioner will provide an introduction of the bill. I can be available for the sectional, and Director Scott here is available for any additional questions.
Excellent. Commissioner, can you hear us?
Yeah, my line just got unmuted. Thank you.
All right, excellent.
Chair Diesel, I appreciate the opportunity.
Yes, if you would proceed with presenting the bill.
Okay, thank you. Chair Giesel, members of the committee, for the record, my name is Doug Vincent Lang, and I'm the commissioner for the Alaska Department of Fish and Game. Thank you for the opportunity to present Senate Bill 216, a governor-introduced bill. This bill would allow the transfer of drawing hunt permits for big game. As you said, in the room, we have Ryan Scott, the Director of Wildlife Conservation, and Joe Feckel. They're both present and represent a lifeline I can call on if needed, which I'm sure I probably will at some point today. Before discussing the bill, let me briefly explain the framework of Alaska's drawing hunt lottery system. Most of Alaska's big game harvest occurs during general season or registration hunts. And big game includes species such as bear, bison, caribou, elk, deer, goat, moose, muskox, and sheep across many game management units in Alaska. In some hunts, however, supply was insufficient to meet demand, and a drawing permit system was developed. The history of Alaska's drawing hunt permits dates back to the early days of statehood when hunters sought to secure access to limited game resources. Over time, the system evolved to include a lottery system for drawing permits, ensuring all hunters have an equal access at coveted hunting opportunities. Today, the lottery system maintains a balance between conservation and opportunity by randomly distributing the number of permits to lucky winners. In many lottery hunts, there are allocations based on residencies made by the Board of Game. Each year, tens of thousands of hunters apply for Alaska's drawing permits. Just this morning, results were posted for nearly 400,000 applications that were submitted during the last draw period, which runs from November 1st to December 15th. These hunters have been eagerly waiting to learn whether they'll be hunting moose in an area close to home or finally have a chance to hunt bison in Delta Junction, goats in the Tustamina Glacier area, sheep in the Tok area, or bears on Kodiak. These permits offer a variety of hunting opportunities across Alaska. Congratulations to those of you who are successful, and blame the computer for those in the random draw if you are unsuccessful. Some key features of the current system include permits are awarded to a random computerized draw. The number of permits issued are adjusted annually based on population surveys and abundance levels, and awarded permits can be canceled for conservation concerns. Applicants can apply for the same permit or multiple hunts more than once, up to 6 applications per species with some exceptions. A person may only receive 1 drawing permit per species per year. Applications are final and fees are non-refundable, The fee for bison and muskox is $10 and $5 for all other species. And permits are non-transferable, except in two limited cases, the death of the original permit holder or active duty military deployment. In summary, the lottery system has evolved to balance conservation goals with fair access for hunters in those cases where demand exceeds supply. So what does this bill do? Well, under current law, when a drawing permit isn't used, the hunting opportunity is lost. This bill creates a narrow, regulated process that allows the original recipient of a big game drawing permit to transfer the permit to another eligible hunter. The original permit hunter may transfer it with or without monetary compensation. In other words, they can sell it if they choose. We expect the market for these permits to set prices depending upon the hunt. For example, highly sought after permits for species like bison, muskox, and sheep in certain areas have less than a 1% chance of being drawn. And we expect that these permits will end up with significant value in the marketplace. The bill includes several safeguards built in. The new permit holder must meet all conditions, regulations, and limitations of the original permit holder, including residency and other conditions like obtaining a valid hunting license and locking tag, as well as guiding requirements for non-residents. Also, if it's an archery hunt, it cannot become a rifle hunt. A non-resident permit can only be transferred to a non-resident, and a resident permit only to another resident. Transfer can only occur before the first day of the open season for the hunt, and only for a specific hunt that was originally awarded. This ensures that a hunter who unsuccessfully hunts cannot transfer their permit after hunting unsuccessfully. Consistent with existing law, a person may not hold more than one permit for the same species, regardless of if it is obtained by the draw or a transfer. To protect the state of Alaska, the bill specifies the state is not liable for any loss incurred by a person receiving a transferred permit, including if a hunt being closed or restricted for conservation or any other reason. If you pay for and receive a transferred permit, the state is not responsible for any loss, financial or otherwise. The permit holder must notify the department before the transfer occurs, providing the recipient's name, hunting license number, and other identifying information. Upon notification, staff will reassign the permit to the new recipient in the system. The bill authorizes the Commissioner of Fish and Game to adopt regulations and necessary to implement these provisions, including establishing a fee to cover the administrative cost. While it's possible that an additional position may be needed in the future, depending upon the volume of transfers, we do not anticipate any immediate or significant cost. If determined necessary later, a position could be requested through the budget process and funded by the Fish and Game Fund revenue generated from the fees. So what are the benefits? The draw application revenue for the last 3 years has averaged about $2.3 million annually. We anticipate the revenue from the drawing permit applications to increase under this bill. Knowing that permits can be sold or transferred would likely encourage more hunters and more speculative non-hunters to apply. If plans change, hunters could transfer or sell their permit rather than lose the opportunity. This bill ensures that canceled hunts don't result in wasted opportunity. Those permits can be repurposed and put to use by someone else, making access for hunters. Also, non-hunters could speculatively sell their permits to a willing hunter. I should point out that because more permits will be used, the department will need to issue fewer permits as we currently employ a non-use factor in setting the quotas that we use for establishing permits. This bill presents an opportunity to increase revenue for wildlife management, encourage broader participation in the lottery, and provide more flexibility and access to drawing hunt permits. As mentioned earlier, some draw hunts for high-value species such as bison and sheep already have less than a 1% chance of being drawn. This bill creates another avenue for hunters to access these highly desirable permits. Currently, hunters must apply during the application period and be lucky enough to win a permit through the lottery or through the governor's permit auction and raffle program. Senate Bill 216 adds another option, and the ability to transfer a big game permit creates a new market for these permits. With that, thank you, and I'm ready for questions.
Thank you, Commissioner. Any questions for the commissioner? Senator Wilikowski.
Thank you. Commissioner, good to hear you. How many, on average, I know it fluctuates, but is there an average number of permits that are given out every year? And then how many of those permits typically go unused on an average?
Okay, there's my first lifeline. I get to call Ryan Scott to the table.
All right. Mr. Scott is there. Welcome, Mr. Scott.
Thank you, Chair Giesel. And through the chair, Senator Wilikowski. We issue about 10,000 drawing permits each year. I do not have the number that go unused, and I can get that for you. However, a rule of thumb often works out that it's about 50%. We find in individual hunts, and so looking at a cumulative total, that's the part I would want to double check for you. But in individual hunts, a lot of times it's about 50%, and we oftentimes offer the number of permits with that kind of factor involved.
Follow up?
Yeah, and then did I hear, so 10,000 permits are given out, and there were 400,000 applicants for those 10,000, is that?
Through the chair, Senator Wilikowski, yes.
Mr. Director Scott, could you formally identify yourself for the record, name, position, et cetera?
My apologies. For the record, my name is Ryan Scott. I'm the director for the Division of Wildlife Conservation.
Yes.
And through the chair, Senator Wilikowski, yes. 10,000 permits, roughly. That does vary each year. It's all based on the harvestable surplus, what's available. There are some hunts that people are really interested in. So there's a lot of applications for them.
Follow up?
I have a number of questions, Madam Chair. I don't want to take up consume if other people have questions. But
Madam Chair, I actually have questions, but so far the questions Senator Wilikowski is asking are the same questions I was going to ask. So I'm happy to let him go ahead.
Okay,
there you
right.
go.
Thank you.
Senator Wilikowski.
Okay, so of those 400,000, how many would you say are Alaska residents?
Through the chair, Member Wilikowski. A lot, but I don't have a number for you. I'll get it for you.
I mean, if I could, Madam Chair, like a rough estimate. I mean, that seems like a huge number of Alaskan residents, right? It's only 700,000 Alaskan residents. And certainly, that seems like almost every eligible person in Alaska is filing for one, and that can't be the case, is it?
Through the chair, Senator Wilikowski, it's important to know that you can apply for a hunt 6 times. Okay. And so each of us could apply for various species 6 different times as well.
Follow up?
Okay. And then what is the problem that this bill is trying to get at?
Through the chair, Senator Wilikowski. I think this is identified a place where some permits just go unused. And this is providing a potentially an opportunity for those permits to be available to, you know, a variety of people, both residents and non-residents.
Follow up?
And it seems to me that because these permits could potentially be extremely valuable, that everybody would apply for one of them. And it's a lottery ticket. It becomes almost a lottery ticket at that point if you open it up. And people know that they can get a permit that might be worth $5, $10, $15, $20, $50,000. And then it seems like that's a concern that might be out there, is that there's a lottery ticket. And then I worry about the Alaskans who – I worry about lower-income, middle-income Alaskans who are just sort of – they're priced out of the market. They're not going to be able to afford these permits. And you're encouraging – if you got 400,000 applicants now – I can imagine that number is just going to increase exponentially to the point where your likelihood of getting a permit is much lower. And then those that get them are probably going to sell them for a lot of money, which the average person in Alaska can't afford. And then I also worry, quite frankly, about if your goal is to get more people to use them, aren't you concerned that, you know, maybe PETA organizes something where they go out and start offering huge amounts of money to buy these permits or quite frankly, applying for the permits?
Mr. Scott?
Through the chair, Senator Wilikowski, I think those are all valid concerns. I also think that the opportunity to utilize some, as the commissioner mentioned, you know, that will come with some thought in the number of permits ultimately that are for the actual hunt, regardless of the number of applications. Two very different things. We'll have to put some additional time into that. You know, it's also potentially a significant revenue generator for the department and wildlife use in application fees, which are fairly nominal, $10 for the two species and $5 for the others. But then you add the licenses on it as well. Each applicant has to have a valid hunting license to even apply for these.
Senator Klayman.
I just want to go through a little bit the math. If you're getting 400,000 permit applicants, of which you give out 10,000 permits. And what I'm hearing is the statistic, your general statistics is you predict of the 10,000 permits, only 5,000 will be used. And I know that's a general number, but it isn't your planning that you start with the point of how many game can we have hunted this year if we're going to maintain the right populations? And if you're trying to have 5,000 hunted, say, and I know everyone with a permit that goes out in the wilderness doesn't necessarily get anything. But if your number starts at 5,000, it seems like you're turning that whole logic upside down by saying, well, we want to get more permits used, because now you're going from 10,000 permits, of which 5,000 get used, you're trying to increase the number of permits used, which will increase the take of game. And that seems like you're kind of upsetting the very apple cart that your statistics are structured on. Why would you do that?
Through the chair, Senator Klayman, excellent question. Thank you. I think it's important to for me to be clear that the applications and the number of permits awarded are two different things, very different things. The number of permits awarded are based today, just like they would be in this program, are based on the harvestable surplus of the species and the population that are available. So when we provide, let's say we offer, 100 moose permits somewhere, that's because we think we can afford 100 moose to go. So only 100 moose are going to be taken regardless.
Follow up, Senator Klayman.
But does that mean you only offer 100 moose tags, or do you actually offer 200? Because statistically, you know that to allow the likelihood, if you can afford to have 100 taken, you know that if you issue 200, they'll end up with 100. If you say, well, we're going to try to get more of these used, then you're actually going to increase the number taken if you change that whole dynamic. If I'm doing the logic correctly, go ahead.
Through the chair, Senator Klayman, I think you're doing great. We may offer 200 permits because oftentimes we see, again, it's a generalized number, about 50% go unused. Some of them are 100%, and we have both large and small drying hunts. It may be 200, maybe 150, something like that. But we oftentimes do offer X number of permits over what we anticipate. That is simply because, but we also spend the time to calculate, we're not going to do anything to negatively impact a population, if we do go to the 150 permits. That's an opportunity for people, if we have a pretty good sense that X number of folks aren't going to use it, if we provide more permits, we're actually providing more opportunity for, more hunters to actually have access to the animals.
Follow up.
And then, if I understand it correctly, under this proposal, if I get one of the permits and I realize I'm not going to use it, I don't contact the department and say, put it back in the lottery and run another lottery. Instead, I now can find somebody, if they want to pay me for it, I can sell them the permit.
Through the chair, Senator Klayman, that is correct. There's not currently a vehicle for us to take those permits back and put them back into the lottery system. The drawing permit program is huge and complex, and lots of stuff happens in a computer that I can't explain.
I believe that.
Yeah. But we spend a lot of time, with lots of different checks and balances to make sure it goes smoothly. And holy smokes, I can't even imagine trying to, keep up with a whole bunch of permits that were returned.
Follow up, Senator Klayman?
I would just make, it's not really a question, but I'll make the observation that the notion that we're going to put permits out on the market for sale is troubling to me. Part of the reason that it's troubling to me is I'm not much of a hunter, but as you all know, I've spent a fair bit of time boating in the Grand Canyon, and they have this very extensive permitting system for non-commercial boaters to get a permit. And when you're on the list, 4 or 5 times a year, you get an email from the Park Service saying, oh, we have a bunch of unused permits. If you want to put in another lottery to try to get one of these permits, put your name in and we'll do another drawing and you might get one. But that's not where I can't go look for somebody with a permit for sale and buy the permit. And I find it troubling, the notion, especially with permits that are so sought after, that if we then create this private market to sell permits, there's a part of that in terms of equal access to fish and game. It doesn't seem equal, and it's troubling to me.
That's
not a question, just a comment.
Thank you, Senator Klayman. I envision scalpers outside the University of Michigan football stadium with tickets, but maybe I'm visualizing it incorrectly. I do want to note Senator Rauscher is online and has been for several minutes. Senator Rauscher, I just want to give a pause here and see if you have any questions. We have not yet gone through the sectional, and I can certainly call on you later. Senator Rauscher, did you have any questions at this time?
I don't, Madam Chair. I do want to thank you for recognizing me. They had a hard time getting me in. I was online 3 minutes before, but they had a technical problem. Thank you for letting they know that I am actually in the room listening.
Yes, thank you for being here. You actually create a quorum. Not that we're going to vote or on anything, but I'm glad you're here regardless. Senator Wilikowski.
I know the fiscal note is indeterminate, but it appears that you think there's going to be some expectation of revenue. Do you have any sense of how much new revenue roughly this might raise?
Do you want to take it? For the record, Joe Felkel, legislative liaison for the Alaska Department of Fish and Game. I worked with our staff to prepare the fiscal note through the chair, Senator Wilikowski. We don't have a great idea of how much volume this could create, and that's why it's indeterminate. We can't give you a number. But that also factors into the non-use factor that both the commissioner and Director Scott were talking about. Once we get a better sense of the volume of transfers, we will have a better idea of the revenue that could create in the future and how to adjust that non-use factor for the permits.
Follow up?
I'm just wondering if other states or other countries, imagine in Africa, there's got super creative ways that they come up to generate funds. I don't like this idea for a variety of reasons, as Senator Giesel mentioned. I see people opening up markets where they're just trying to scalp these and make huge amounts of money and crowding out Alaskans. And I have problems with that. But I also at the same time am sympathetic and wondering if there's other creative ways. Like maybe you can hold back a couple permits and offer those to, you know, this could be wildly unpopular, but I know there's raffles for some of those permits that go for huge amounts, and maybe the department could do something like that just for a couple of them to make probably much more than you would do with this and create much less administrative burden. Have you thought of anything like that?
Through the chair, Senator Wilikowski, I think that question may be better addressed to the commissioner, but I can say, you know, there is an existing program to allow for those auctions, and those permits do go for a lot of money.
For the record, that was Mr. Felkel. Commissioner, would you like to make a comment about Senator Wilikowski's question?
Yeah, certainly. So this bill, we already have the opportunity to award governor's permits and for groups like Safari Club, Wild Sheep Foundation, and those do go out to the highest bidder and kind of on a marketplace thing. And again, 70% of those receipts for that thing come back to the department, and 30% is kept by that organization for administration as well as for things that they do for that species. So that opportunity exists. What the governor is looking for in this is providing an opportunity for those unused tags, the ones that the Director Scott talked about, and giving them the opportunity to make sure that they get out back into the marketplace. You know, I think there are some interesting ideas here discussed. Could we open up a second lottery? The problem is a lot of these hunts take some amount of time to plan and some amount of time to get in the field. You know, people take leave to go out for some of these hunts. So it's kind of hard we thought about that, kind of hard to offer a second lottery for the reasons that Director Scott spoke about. There's also a lot of complications in this program because if you get awarded a moose permit in one area of the state, that disqualifies you from having a moose permit in a different area of the state. Or if you've hunted bison in one year, you can't hunt bison, you know, for X amount of years after that. So there's a lot of complications that are built into this that should try to assure more equal access to Alaskans for these resources. I understand some of the concerns you have, but I think the governor, again, was just trying to give the opportunity for somebody that got a permit and didn't, and for some reason couldn't use it or wanted to transfer it, could transfer it either for monetary or non-monetary purposes and get it out so it could be used. And again, the negative of that is that, you know, we already factor in the non-use cost. So if more of these permits are awarded, we're going to have to issue fewer of them, knowing that almost a higher percentage of those will ultimately be used.
Thank you, Commissioner. With no further questions, I was going to have Mr. Felkel go through a sectional. We do have the public listening. That's always helpful for them to know what's in the bill.
Of course. For the record, Joe Felkel, legislative liaison for the Alaska Department of Fish and Game. Sectional for Senate Bill 216. Section 1 amends the existing statute for permit transfers to require a recipient meet all the legal requirements that applied to the initial permit holder at the time that the permit was awarded. This includes residency and any other applicable conditions. Section 2, consistent with the new provisions under this bill, Section 2 is a conforming amendment to remove the requirement that a person apply to the Department of Fish and Game for a transfer or reissuance, which was formerly only allowed upon death of the original permit holder or, as the commissioner mentioned, for active military deployment. This section also adds language that a permit transfer under the new provisions in Section 4 must be made before the first day of the open season for the hunt. Section 3 is another conforming amendment to delete language that is now covered under Section 1. Now, Section 4, this is the section that adds the new statutes that would allow for a transfer and sale of drawing hunt permits. After first notifying the department and providing the name and hunting license number of the recipient, along with any other identifying information that the department may require. Consistent with existing law, the new provisions under Section 4 prohibit a person from holding more than one drawing permit for the same species, regardless of if it is obtained via the draw or a transfer. This section also gives the Commissioner of Fish and Game authority to adopt regulations and set fees to offset administrative costs. It also clarifies that a new permit holder is subject to all the conditions, regulations, and limitations of the original permit holder. It also provides that the state of Alaska is not liable for any loss incurred by a person who receives a permit transfer, which could include a hunt being closed or restricted by the department for conservation purposes. Finally, Section 5 is an effective date of January 1, 2027. And that concludes the sectional.
Thank you very much. All right. With no further questions for the commissioner or his team, I am going to open public testimony now. Do we have some people in the room? Is there anyone here in the room that wishes to testify? Please come forward. Oh, I see you here. Michelle Stevens, am I correct?
Yeah.
Excellent. I see you here. I usually look for the room first, and then I figure the people on the little iPad or on the phone. So welcome, Michelle. If you would give your name and affiliation and then your testimony.
To the chair and members of the committee, thank you for the opportunity to testify. My name is Michelle Stevens, and I'm vice president of the Alaska Outdoor Council. The Alaska Outdoor Council opposes Senate Bill 216. Article 8 of the Alaska Constitution is clear. Our wildlife resources are reserved to the people for common use and must be managed under principles of equal access and sustained yield. Alaska Statute 16-05-404 already allows limited transfer of drawing permits in documented hardship cases, such as death or serious medical incapacity. Those provisions are narrow and protect both families and the integrity of the draw system. Senate Bill 216 changes that structure. Section 4F authorizes the transfer of a drawing permit with or without monetary consideration. The language allows the sale of a state-issued opportunity to harvest public wildlife. Drawing permits are allocated through a random system designed to provide equal opportunity to qualified applicants. When permits become transferable for money, access to a public resource may no longer depend solely on luck and eligibility. It may depend on financial ability. While the bill does not explicitly grant exclusive rights, it moves Alaska towards a market-based allocation model. That direction raises serious questions about alignment with the constitutional principles of common use and equal access that guide the Alaska Department of Fish and Game and Board. This is not a minor adjustment. It represents a fundamental change in how the legislature defines a drawing permit from personal opportunity to a transferable asset. Alaska's wildlife belongs equally to all Alaskans, and any shift towards a market-based allocation system deserves careful constitutional scrutiny. Before transforming drawing permits into transferable commodities, I urge the committee to consider a long-term impact on fairness and public trust in our system. Thank you.
Thank you for your testimony. Does anyone have questions for Ms. Stevens? I do. So you are with the Alaska Outdoor Council.
Yes, ma'am.
So I go to various events, banquets, frankly, that I believe nonprofits. Is Alaska Outdoor Council a nonprofit?
Yes, ma'am.
So I've been to that banquet. I've been to others. And in the course of those banquets, first of all, many of the organizations emphasize, and I can't recall specifically if AOC did, that their main purpose is to help the Department of Fish and Game conserve our wildlife for the use of the people. And you auction off often permits, I think, that you've obtained through the state. And if I understood the commissioner correctly, 70% of the money from that auctioned item goes to the department and 30% stays with the nonprofit. Can you explain?
According to the gaming rules, 30% goes to the state, it would be, and 70% would go to the nonprofit.
Gotcha. I had it backwards. All right. Someone in the audience wishes to clarify. Yes, please.
Caleb. Help me.
Lifeline. Yes.
Rod, thank you, sir.
Welcome. If you would identify yourself for the record.
Thank you, Madam Chair, for the opportunity. My name is Rod Arno. I'm the Public Policy Director for the Alaska Outdoor Council, and I've been with them for the last 35 years. So I've been to a number of banquets. So to answer your question, you are correct. And what we're talking about is the governor's tags. And that's what the legislature passed. And that program is something that we went through, you know, years back. And the director then at that time, Eddie Grasser, worked with us, and we got those permits then. And so that is different from where you're getting into the public's opportunity in the drawing system. Thank you for the opportunity.
Sure. I guess the thing that I find so beneficial about what the nonprofits do with those governor's tags is, first of all, most of the money is supporting the department for the work they do in managing our wildlife. But it also allows the organization, which again is Alaska-based, to have some benefit from it as well, to increase the programs that are typically education programs, sometimes for youth, right, in firearm use or hunting, ethical hunting practices and things like that. Am I understanding correctly that's what the organizations use the money for?
Yes, Rod Arno again. Yes, Chairman Giesel, that is exactly what happens to that, and things like building shooting programs for youth, and then we also do a number of things like we even do road maintenance to get to gun ranges that we've helped worked with the department, you know, to get developed around urban areas. So absolutely. And then the education part of it is when there are concerns, conservation concerns, then because we're also, you know, we have the Fish and Wildlife Conservation Fund for education. So then that money can be used to get out information when we see that there are concerns to the resource.
Very good. Other questions for Mr. Arno? Senator Klayman.
So when you talk about governor's tags, let's just talk about the limited entry big game hunt. How many governor's tags are there in that particular hunt, if you know?
Yeah, through the chair, Senator Klayman. There's sheep tags, then there's moose tags, and there's bear tags. And just recently, this last year, the doll sheep tag outside raised $200,000. So the financial advantage, you know, is clear on that. And then there's also, yeah, go ahead. Sorry.
Follow up, Senator Klayman.
So that actually was very informative because but let's just say take the bear tag. How many governor's bear tags are there? Like, because I'm assuming that it's a governor's tag, meaning the governor has discretion to decide which groups get to sell the tags. But how many tags, bear tags, does he have to distribute amongst groups like yours?
Through the chair, Senator Klayman, I don't have that actual number. The department probably could tell you that much easier than ourselves.
And I won't keep the public testimony, Madam Chair, but I think it would be actually very helpful as we review this bill to have the department provide actually how many governor's tags there are and for which species. And, I mean, for all I know, there's 200 governor's tags that the governor chooses to distribute, and this sounds like a great program. I have no criticism of it, but it also seems like it – I'd be curious to see just actually how big it is, how many tags there are.
Thank you, Senator Klayman. I think that's a good question. I believe Mr. Felkel is writing that down. What I wanted to draw out, which thank you to both of you, Ms. Stevens and Mr. Arno, is that there's a program in place now that allows folks access to these, but the money that's made on it stays in our state versus, I suppose an Alaska resident could scalp their permit, but it goes to the department. It goes to benefit the hobby of hunting. I don't know what to call it, but there's a different benefit to what the governor's tags do, to what this is proposing to do. Senator Wilkowski, did you have additional comments?
No, just I agree with you on that. And I think the point I was trying to make before was that I wouldn't be, you know, I'm curious too how many tags there are, that governor's tags. I've been to those banquets and I've seen the auctions and they've raised huge amounts of money. I mean, maybe instead of going through this process where you raise maybe $100,000, maybe just issue one more tag or something, and two more tags. And then the department could get some more money and the nonprofits could get a little money. And I mean, maybe that's the solution to this program where I agree. It just monetizes the system. And I don't think that's something I could support.
Senator Klayman.
I would just say, Madam Chair, I agree with both you and Senator Wilkowski. If anything, if these permits are that valuable on the auction, one of the things I think we should be considering is, should we be potentially expanding the number of governor's tags? Because if this is a real revenue opportunity that helps support the department, you know, we should be looking at whether there might be a market for more auction tags. I'm not saying we go to now turn it into an entire auction hunt. I don't think we want to go there, but it certainly seems to me if there's a limited number of governor's tags and that's working, you know, that we ought to look to potentially expand that. Again, not to massive.
Thank you.
I think I'm seeing heads shake from the presenters. Maybe they.
Yes, and I want to ask Senator Rauscher also before. Could we ask? I want to ask Senator Rauscher if he has any questions or comments. Senator Rauscher.
No, I don't have any comments at this time or any questions. I'm still listening. Thank you. I appreciate it.
Thanks, Senator Rauscher. Mr. Arno, Ms. Stevens, yeah. Comments?
Yeah. Through the chair, Senator Gleasel. When we went through the process of getting the governor's tags in the first time, there was controversy because the hunts that sell the highest are the doll sheep. Okay, well, now the doll sheep harvest has fallen from an average of 900 down to, you know, below 400 and dropping from that. Those are very valuable. So every time you take a tag out like that for any specials hunt, you're disenfranchising the Alaskan resident who's put in a tag for it. So we were very careful when we chose how many animals that the governor could have tags for, that it wasn't at the point that it disenfranchised the Alaskans who were putting in for those drawings.
Thank you. Appreciate that. Yes, Ms. Stevens, did you have further comment?
To the chair, I just wanted to say that you weren't sure what to call it. It's a resource.
Oh, it's a resource. Thank
yes,
you.
It's a resource.
Yes.
It's an Alaskan resource.
Thank you. Thank you, Ms. Stevens. All right. Further questions or comments for the speakers? All right. Thank you very much for your testimony. Is there anyone else in the room that wishes to testify? Seeing none, I see no one else online who wishes to testify either. Commissioner or Mr. Felkel or Mr. Scott, closing comments before we end the day today? Commissioner?
Yeah, through the Madam Chair, we thank you for the opportunity to present this bill and have a hearing on it, and we look forward to working with you on any amendments that you may wish to make moving forward. So thank you very much for the opportunity to present it.
Thank you, Commissioner. All right. With that, I'm going to close public testimony, and we will be setting this bill aside for later consideration. So that actually concludes our meeting for today. That concludes our agenda. Our next meeting will be on Monday, February 23rd at 3:30 p.m. The presenter at that time will be Frank Richards. He's the president and CEO of the Alaska Gas Line Development Corporation. He is also the state's representative on 8-STAR, the entity created over the new Glen Farne proposed gas pipeline. So we will be having an opportunity to speak with Mr. Richards. So at this time, I will adjourn the meeting. Let the record reflect the time is 4:13 p.m.